putting together this morning, and today I'm going to be bringing a word. It's part of a series that we've started, and the series is entitled "It's All About Me." And I'm just going to ask Pat to get things started for us. It's fine, Pat. You'll see just now that when you say it's all about me, the ME is a capital me. And I think often our mindsets, and certainly in the world around us, we think about ourselves as the center of our universe. And it's very easy to get caught up in that mentality of just really worrying about ourselves, when Jesus is really calling us to look to Him. So this is really Jesus saying, look to me. It's really all about Him. So at the heart of this series is really a challenge for each of us to relook at our outlook on life. So what is the way that we view our lives? And is that aligned with the way God speaks to us and what He says, how He says we should be living? And that call to have a different mindset has been the same for at least 2,000 years. And it's as relevant today as it was when Paul wrote a letter to the Roman church. So I'm going to start off by reading Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read that together. It says, brothers and sisters, God has shown you His mercy, so I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to Him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshipping Him. So don't live any longer the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what He wants is right, His plan is good and pleasing and perfect. So just really just to highlight that verse that says, don't live any longer the way this world lives. And if we look around us, the way the world lives, it's a bit crazy. And it's very, very self-focused. But we're told in God's Word to look at life differently. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. And I just challenge all of us in these weeks, in the next sort of 2 months or so, just be willing to have your worldview, your mindset challenged by what the Word of God says. So just to refresh where I started 2 weeks ago, I challenged you to each reflect on your worldview, and really just I started to draw a comparison between a worldly view and what God's view of how life should look. So a worldly view says that we need to look after number one. It's all about me. And if we're going to get anywhere in life, we need to do whatever it takes to get ahead. That's the typical message, isn't it? And I think especially for us men, the pressure's on. You know, you've got to stand up, you've got to get things done, and it's really about your performance. You've got to make sure that you're providing for your kids, your wife, and the pressure's on. It's all about you. But Jesus calls us to a different life. Jesus says, when we care about the things that He cares about, like His church and other people who don't know Jesus, He will take care of the rest. It's a different perspective. God's Word says on countless occasions that He owns everything and is in control of anything, of everything. So rather than working ourselves to death to get what we want, so maybe working really hard at work, aiming for financial security, maybe healthy relationships, or trying to get purpose, instead we can put God and His purposes first, and He'll make sure we get what we need. It's a different perspective, isn't it? It's the perspective that the Bible brings is focus on Jesus, focus on God, and those other things will fall into place, rather than just rushing ahead and just focusing on what we want and thinking that we'll live this happy, fulfilled life. So this different perspective on life is laid out in a whole lot of passages in Scripture. And I'd encourage you guys to get into the Bible and really seek what is it, and really seek to understand what the Bible is talking about when it says a different mindset and how He wants us to live. I'm just going to bring a few passages up next. Pat, if you can move on to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Solomon speaking. And he was a pretty wise guy. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. And interestingly, he was the wisest man that ever lived. So he says, don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So he's saying, seek his will in all you do. That's a message from Solomon. And then in Psalms, we often look up to David about and his amazing intimate relationship with God. In Psalm 37, verse 3 to 6, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord. And I think we've seen examples of David. And in many cases, when you read through the Psalms, David really delighted in God. He sang and he was this just amazing relationship with God. He really did this. And he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. So God's word clearly says that it's in submitting to God's plan for our lives that true fulfillment is found. Okay, it's not about chasing after worldly wealth and money and things. It's about trusting him and submitting to what he wants to, the work that he wants to do in our lives. So as a leadership team, we've really just been asking God, you know, what is the direction that you want to take our church in this new season? And we really believe that we need to make a few changes in the way we do church to position ourselves for a new season of growth for Crossways Church. And for now, we're focusing on three things. Pat, if you can bring those up. The first one is to commit. And Pam spoke about that last week for those of you that were here. And really, it's very clear in God's word that it's good for us to meet together. And God wants us to commit to him and take that commitment seriously. The second one is serving. And I'm going to be speaking to that today. And the third one is connecting. It's really important that we connect with one another. And we're going to be establishing a series of connect groups or small groups in the weeks ahead to enable that to happen. But today I'm talking about serving. And the encouragement for all of us to serve the Lord together. So I think the best place to start is Jesus' example. He's the one that we follow. And if anything doesn't align with Jesus' example for us and what he was saying, it's not worthwhile. Because the whole message of the New Testament is about Jesus. And he set a lovely example for us. And we're just going to listen to watch a brief extract from the life of Jesus. It's just a film. So that's about 5 minutes ago or so, and then I'll carry on from there.
It was the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel round his waist. Then he poured some water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter.
Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?
It
do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later. Never at any time will you wash my feet. If I do not wash your feet, you will no longer be my disciple. Lord, do not wash only my feet, then. Wash my hands and head too. Those who have taken a bath are completely clean and do not need to wash themselves, except for their feet. All of you are clean. All except one.
Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That is why he said, all of you except one are clean. After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table.
Do you understand what I've just done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you should do so, because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slaves are greater than their master, and no messengers are greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice.
So just reading from John 13, 12 to 17. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." I think that's quite an amazing example that Jesus demonstrated with his disciples. I mean, he was God, he was the most amazing, most powerful man essentially in all time, and yet he was willing to do that. And it's important here that we reflect on our view of church and how we relate to one another. And I've got to say, I'm a bit concerned when we look around at the modern church, and I believe that many churches are really influenced by the culture of today. People come to church to watch a performance and to be fed. And you know, that's great. I think, you know, if you look at Jesus' disciples, Jesus fed them for like 3 years. So feeding is important. But one cannot just be a spectator and claim to follow Jesus. As you saw, what Jesus was saying is, do what I do. That's what it really means to follow. Not just hear what I say, it's do what I do. So to follow Jesus, we must do what he did. And what he did was to serve. His consistent message was not one of self-promotion or pride, but it was about servanthood and humility. That's who Jesus was. So Paul re-emphasizes this point when providing guidance to the early church. And I just want to read next from Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. Paul says again, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So when we give Jesus his rightful place as Lord in our lives, he really wants to transform our hearts and our minds. And one of the ways that His Lordship in our lives will be expressed, surely, is in the way we serve others and how we serve one another. And I think what's interesting is that this call to be a servant is in direct opposition to what we want to do naturally. Naturally, we look to ourselves and we want people to help us and to meet our needs. Where what Jesus is saying is actually we need to be looking to one another. And it's really, can you see, it's in contrast to who we are, who we naturally want to be, our sinful natures. Our sinful natures are so about us. And Jesus says it's not just about us, it's about one another. I want to read next from Matthew. Thanks, Pat. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me." Again, give up your own way. "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." And then He says later in Matthew 10, 39, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." So that's Jesus' call. He has the way, the truth, and the life. And it's by trusting Him and giving our lives to Him that He's saying we'll really find fulfillment in our lives. That's the real truth. So what should serving look like in the church today? Firstly, I believe that serving should be modeled by those in authority. So I really spent some time looking through the scriptures and trying to figure out, you know, what does it look like in practice? And I think we see in scriptures that true greatness in the kingdom doesn't come from lording it over others, but by serving. But if you can go into the next one, that would be great. So I'll repeat that true greatness in the kingdom does not come from lording it over others, but from serving one another. So if you recall, Jesus' disciples even had... Just when I was reading some of the scriptures, I came across a passage where Jesus' disciples were arguing amongst each other. And this is in Mark 9. We read that as they were walking down the road, they were arguing about which of them was the greatest. Do you remember that? And read in verse 35, this is Jesus talking. "Now He sat down and called the 12 disciples over to Him, and He said, 'Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else.'" So He'd heard what these guys were saying and saying, you know, "Now I want to be the greatest." And he said, "Guys, it's not about that. If you want to be first, you've got to be last." And it's so counter to the world. It's so counter to our mindsets that we have in the world. Not long after that, Jesus and His followers moved on, and they were on the way to Jerusalem. So His disciples had been with Jesus for like about 3 years. So it's not like they hadn't seen what He was doing. But this is what we read in Mark 10, verse 35 and 37. Thanks, Pat. Just the next one. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to Him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do us a favor.' 'What's your request?' He asked. They replied, 'When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left.'" I mean, these guys really just didn't get it. So Jesus had already stern talking to them, and when the other 10 hear what these two had asked, they were really indignant. Well, that's what the New Living Translation says. The King James Version says that they were much displeased. So they were a bit bleak. And another version, which I read, was the NIV Reader's Version. It said it a bit more plainly. I think it says that they became angry. So the disciples were really, at that point, they were competing with one another about their position. They really didn't get it. And I think it's only really after the Holy Spirit came that they really understood what this was all about. So Jesus had to step in before there was some bloody noses, I think. And in verse 42, we carry on the story. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." I mean, that was really the order of the day with the Romans, I think, very clearly. "But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So really, just to reiterate, greatness in the kingdom is characterized by servanthood and not by lording over one another. Okay, so I think anyone who's involved in leadership ourselves, anyone in a home group, in a small group, in our families, we're not there to lord it over one another. We're there to serve one another. And that needs to be the heart in which we do things in this church as well. So the second point I want to raise in terms of how we do church today is that serving should not be left to a few individuals. So really it's not about a few serving. Rather, all are called to serve one another. So that's everyone here. We all got a part of this. Thanks, Pat. If we can go into the next one. Okay, we've already seen that Jesus set the bar pretty high by the example he gave in being willing to wash his disciples' feet. Paul and the apostles followed in this vein, seeking to emulate Jesus' example, and so should we. So if you read what Paul had to say in Acts, I think this was Paul, he said, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive." Again, a different perspective. We like to often receive, but he's saying it's better to give. It's better for us, it's better for our hearts to give than to receive. And again, Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says in Philippians 2, 3-7, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus, as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." So we're encouraged by Jesus to look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others, right? We need to be asking the question, how can I bless others by serving in the local church and in our community? That needs to be our perspective. It's not just about us. And you really can't miss this message as you read through Paul's teaching in the New Testament. I think hopefully you've got the message quite clearly that Jesus demonstrated. It's very clear. But I want to take you to a few more verses as well. The next one I want to go to is Romans 12. Verse 11, it says, "Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically." Then Galatians 5:13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So there's a clear example that Jesus has set, and it's very clear, we're called to serve. We can't get around this church. We can't just say that three or four members of the church or just the leadership must serve. Every one of us, if we claim to be a follower of Christ, we're all called to serve him. So I think in some ways, I think it's good to know that we all have a part to play. No one's left out. If you're following Jesus, you're called. There's a purpose, and part of that is serving him. But the final point I'd like to make is that God has made us each different for a purpose. So we're not all to do the same thing. So not everyone's has got the gifts to be able to worship or to teach or to do practical things. We're all different. And yes, we're different because God is creative and he has individual plans for each of us. And those are personal. But following Jesus is not just about me. He also has plans for his church, for this church, that involves people from different walks of life with different gifts and talents coming together to worship him, to care for one another and make a difference in this community. That's what he's calling us to. But to be effective, church, to be really effective, we need to be willing to bring what we have and offer it at the table, essentially. Otherwise, we're going to land up being a church that's just trying to make a difference with just an arm or just a leg. We're never going to have the reach that God wants us to have. So Romans 12:48 says it really nicely. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And those aren't all the gifts. There are lots of different gifts that we all have. But there's a part we each ask to step out and do. That's the key thing. And the other passages, like 1 Peter 4 verse 10, says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So each of you are not only called, but you have a responsibility to bring what you have and offer it willingly in serving others as part of the body of Christ. And if you're not willing to come and be part of it, actually what happens is that maybe you're not going to be blessed, but the whole body suffers. Can you see that? The body won't function like it should unless we each bring our part. Okay, so just to summarize then what I've been saying. It's back one, thanks Pat. Okay, I think it's quite clear that Jesus has set the ultimate example for us to follow. That's quite clear. His whole life was about others. And He ultimately gave up His life so that each of us could find new life in Him. Okay, clear? The next one is that greatness in God's kingdom looks very different to what greatness looks like in the world. And serving really needs to be modeled by those who are in authority. If you want to be great for Jesus, you need to serve. Then serving should not be left to a few individuals. Every member of this church is called to be involved. And finally, each of you has something to offer and should be serving in areas where you can best use the gifts and talents that God has given you. Okay. So what does this look like in practice? And as most of you are aware, we've established serving teams. We saw guys with their red... what do you call these things, Eddie? Red lanyards around their necks today. And a big thanks to all of you guys who've really helped today. It was actually so wonderful seeing so many people here early. We had a lovely time of prayer before the service as well, which was so great. And just it makes it so much easier to do church if lots of people are mucking in and helping. So as we move forward as a church, we're taking God's word as it is. It says that we must each serve. So we're expecting each member to be part of this. Okay, so if you're part of this church, we're expecting you to serve. We're following Jesus' example. Okay, I just want to go through that quickly. So what does it look like in practice in case you've missed it? So being part of a serving team really entails a few things. First of all, it's about coming early on Sundays. So whoever's in a serving team on that Sunday, we want you guys to be here at 8, just to be available to help. It also means actively serving in the church on that day. So some of the guys with lanyards around their necks, these guys facilitating, heads got hers, for she was involved in worship. Other guys in serving tea. There's a whole lot of things that we can do. There's a Sunday teachers outside. There's a whole team. And I think there's somewhere where each of you can get involved. Even if it's just putting out the chairs or helping to clear up afterwards. There's some way that we can all serve one another. And we've also set up a whole lot of WhatsApp groups. We're using technology. Pete's got Pam to help him. But I think most of us are on the WhatsApp groups. And if you're not, just let Pam know and we can make sure we get you onto that as well. But that's just now, that group will help us just to communicate with one another and make sure we all know what's happening. And so that's roughly what the teams look like. If you can't read it, it's outside. I think it's on the notice board. It's also been posted on all the WhatsApp groups. So you can find out where you're fitting in. And essentially each Red Sunday we're asking those guys on that team to be here and being willing to serve. And if your name's not on there, we'd love you to be part of this as soon as you're wanting to be part of our church. Or otherwise, just come early and help. It would be lovely to have as many people as possible assisting us. Okay, and then there's also a calendar. Pat, if you can just bring that up. So what we've done is we've essentially pre-planned till the end of the year. And what we're asking, guys, is that as far as possible, can you organize your lives to try and fit in with this? I think what often happens with trying to set up rosters is everyone has their plan laid out for the next 6 months, and then we try and organize things. And it's really difficult because everyone has got their own plans. And we want to obviously try and cater for that as well. So I think the idea is, as far as possible, if you're on Blue Sundays, please make sure you're here on the 3rd of September, the 1st of October, the 29th of October, and so forth. So then you can plan in advance and make sure that you're here to help. And if you can't be, then just swap out with someone. Say, well, I'll do your Red Sunday, you do my Blue Sunday, is that okay? Okay, and I think the important thing is just to communicate with whoever's leading. There's a team leader and or the leadership who's responsible, and we can sort that out. Okay. And finally, just to say that we know that serving Jesus is not just about what happens here on Sundays. I think what Steve and Camilla have shared today has been great, because they're taking serving way beyond Sunday church, and they're living it out in their lives. And I think many of us, hopefully all of us in some way, are living out serving God, either in our work, in the way we're interacting with others during the week. So we're not saying that the only way to serve is to be here and do something for God on Sunday. It's not that. But I think it is part of it. Part of serving is serving together at church. So let's do that joyfully. And as we move forward in the months ahead, we're going to look at ways that our church can be more practical in serving the Lord and the community. And we look forward to walking that adventure with you. So how can our church really make a difference? And we want to see us making a difference here in Hilton together. So that's it from me today. I think the message has hopefully been clear. And yeah, we look forward to serving with everyone as we trust God for new things in this church. Thanks, Grant.
Thanks, Red Team. We did a good job today, starting off serving. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, lovely wife, for bringing that word. I do remember 2 days of fasting made me thinner than I am now. I recommend fasting. It's one of those horrible things, but I think it's a spiritual discipline that we need to do more regularly. The Lord talks to us through our stomachs often, especially men. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we have joyfully met with you today. We celebrate Crossways Church and everyone gathered here today. Thank you for your spirit. It's been gentle, but it's also been firm, Lord. You're calling us out to serve you, bring our gifts faithfully to you, wash each other's feet. So we do that, Lord, joyfully now as we partake in tea and coffee. And Holy Spirit, we particularly pray a blessing over Steve and Camilla and their family. Go with them, Lord, in your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.